Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Fourth and final hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We appreciate Steve Forbes for joining us. Always a good conversation with him. These are unprecedented times here for the Nashville area here in Middle Tennessee. It began with the tornadoes in early March and now the coronavirus pandemic that has shut our city down in ways none of us could ever have imagined. As we, though, are starting to reopen. I was just seeing where New Jersey has reopened and saying they are open for business when it comes to sports, professional sports. The toll on the thriving hospitality industry has been profound. Our local bartenders, servers, cooks, and restaurant staff need your help in partnership with the Community Foundation of Middle Tennessee. A fund called Tennessee Action for Hospitality.com has been established to help support hospitality professionals who cannot meet their financial obligations with unemployment alone. Please show them support by making a donation of any amount. You can go to TNActionForHospitality.com and donate today. That's Tennessee Action for Hospitality to donate now. And thank you, Music City. We're all in this together. I think that's a really good hire, by the way, by Wake Forest. I'm biased, but you know, when you look at Steve Forbes' track record in the past, he has been very, very successful, coming off a 30-4 season. His last season at East Tennessee State, including 16-2 in the conference play. So he will now take his talents to Wake Forest. NASCAR had a weekend, their biggest race over the weekend on Sunday in Charlotte. They'll continue their action with Charlotte. I've got to be honest. I know it's good, period. But tonight will be Xfinity. Tomorrow they'll stay.
No, tonight's trucks.
Tonight's is trucks. Tomorrow is Cup.
Tomorrow's Cup. Xfinity was last night.
Xfinity was last night. And that was, what, Kyle Busch?
Yep.
Won last night. Trucks tonight. And Cup back at it on Wednesday. I think the best shot, and I don't want to say the best because the weekends are still good in these times with nothing else. NASCAR's already proven it. The ratings have come out. They are definitely benefiting from this.
Sure.
But I'll tell you what, Wednesday nights, until this other stuff comes back, Wednesday night is where I really feel like they could capitalize in their sport. I mean, I think they've got an opportunity. I mean, I'll be watching tomorrow night at Charlotte.
Yeah, and obviously I will. But the thing that – because this is the last Wednesday night race they have scheduled for a while. They'll have one at Martinsville here in a few weeks, like 2 or 3 weeks, I think they're going to do a Wednesday night race at Martinsville. But I agree with you, and I would like to see more of these built in, you know, here in the near future, especially while there aren't any other sports going on. So I do wonder if they're going to continue to, and we only know race dates through June 21st, because Pocono is scheduled for the following weekend to already have a doubleheader. That was going to be on the schedule new for this year. But Pennsylvania has not yet said if it's okay. They're leaning like it will be, but they haven't given the go-ahead for them to go. So we only know the dates through the 21st officially. But I'm with you. Like a short track, and it just like a Darlington feels right because, you know, they're going to be close together and sparks are going to fly. You know, Charlotte will be fun this Wednesday, but I think that you're going to see more of this in the future. I mean, this is something that's been rumored for years. I can think back to some of my early days producing with you and Liz, Liz Allison, and this has come up of doing the midweek races. So it's been around for a while. They were forced into it because of the pandemic to try it out, and I think you're going to see scheduled midweek races here in the very, very near future. So I'm excited about it. I like it. It's obviously been right up my alley being a huge NASCAR fan. But Sunday night felt right. The Coke 600, always the Sunday night of Memorial Day weekend. And it did not disappoint. Unless you're Chase Elliott, then you were very disappointed.
And along those lines, so I brought up New Jersey and said, hey, pro sports, you know, you guys can start opening things up. And another state that has said, we're going to open up things, and there was a big article, and Willie, you sent this to us over the weekend, and I mean really thorough article. I had to sit down. I didn't know I was going to need my readers in a robe to sit down and talk. John Solomon, who's done a lot of writing with CBS Sports, we've had him on the show before, but putting together.
I think we're having him on again this week.
Yep, and I think it's going to be Thursday on the show. But John Solomon has written something about if people, you've heard us talk about the travel ball world, youth sports, and they call it U-Trip. It's U-Triple-S-A. And so people call it U-Trip for, you know, it's just easier to say that way. But they are a big, big company involved in the travel scene. It's no different here. They're involved here. We've got Game 7. We got U-Trip. And, in fact, those new fields over here in Smyrna, Cedar Stone Park, beautiful, beautiful, brand-new four-field all-turf complex, which is done and just sitting there ready to rock and roll. It was set to open for the spring season, and of course it's still sitting there locked up and closed. They have yet to have anyone walk on those fields. U-Trip was one of the first to jump in there and say that they were going to conduct tournaments there, even though they don't own the fields. These are fields that are owned by the city of Smyrna. They were owned and operated, built by the city of Smyrna. But there's this long article about Florida has opened things up for youth sports. And so they are starting to get back on the scene, and they also do other sports besides just baseball. But Willie, this article was just chronicling the tough balance, things that we've talked about on this show. Really didn't think a whole lot was new, things that I've had to wrestle with as a head coach of an 8U team, but you know, how to handle, you know, this pandemic, how to handle the times that we're currently in.
Yeah, this one resonated with me, and I'm sure it did with you as well, Darren. So this is where it hits us directly with kids that are now getting into that stage where, you know, they've been patient, right? They've been waiting. They haven't been able to see their friends as much. You know, they've only been able to talk to them on the Zoom and, you know, maybe play video games with them and text back and forth, but they haven't had that personal interaction that sports gives them. And so now they're itching to get out there. And we kind of knew that eventually we would be faced with this. The decision of when is it time to get back on the field, and then at what level are we comfortable? Is it just practices, or when are we ready to start playing games? And for better or worse, we know that the model right now, overwhelmingly in a lot of places, is the travel teams. And what do travel teams do? They go to travel tournaments, and there are a lot of people congregated at those tournaments. Whether we're talking about baseball or soccer, that's a big one for girls, mm-hmm. And guys, yep. Softball for girls. I mean, so a lot of families are now going to get to this point here. If they haven't already, they're going to probably in the next few weeks as they try to plan out their summer. You know, what's right? How are we doing this? And so my perspective is, you know, I try to weigh all this. We had a great conversation with Tim Corbin about this. But the other part of it is, Darren, we talk about on this show all the time, hey, what about how is Major League Baseball and NHL hockey and NBA basketball, how are they going to try to play with safe? And they have all of these measures. They're going to do all the testing. They're thinking about quarantining people. Of course, youth sports, they don't have the resources to do any of that stuff, right? But as you just pointed out in this article, there are some youth league tournaments that are already up and going, right? If you want to play, there's somebody that's probably running a tournament that would be glad to have you. And so my question is, you know, what measures are those tournament directors taking to try to keep everybody safe? We know there's going to be risk in everything you do, right? You could take a line drive off the leg and your season could be over, right? We know that there's that risk, right? But on top of that, the risk of spreading the virus, not just to the kids, but the parents and the grandparents that will have, somebody's got to take the kids to the tournament. Somebody's got to keep them in a hotel room, right? in they're not old enough to stay in their own room. So it's inherent with a lot of the things that we worry about with this virus. A lot of people congregated from a lot of different places in one concentrated area for a weekend. You know, that's fraught with risk to some degree, right? Unless it's done really well. So when is the right time to do it? How much do you want to see it go on around the country before you're ready to throw your team's hat into the ring there and do that? These are just all things that I contemplated a lot because, you know, my son's team is starting to practice again, and we're trying to make those decisions right now, you know, and I'm just a parent, and a lot of parents are, you know, asking questions as well and wondering the same things, and we want to make a sound decision.
Yeah, the headlines is business versus safety. USSSA guidelines for travel sports raises concerns. One of the families on our team, one of the dads, had sent me pictures and a text over the weekend and said, hey, my cousin, his son, who's a 9-year-old, played a tournament in Memphis. It was a U-Trip tournament in Memphis. And I was like, whoa, what? In Cordova, because that was the first. Now, for people who.
So there was a tournament played
this
in our
past
state.
Weekend. I mean, he had pictures and everything. And so I was like, okay, this is significant because these tournaments, including Game 7 here locally, and I know, Chase, you're not, you know, and a lot of people listening, they're not involved in this scene, but it
someday,
is a huge
someday,
business.
Chase, you will right. be. You'll have
you
all
will
this
be.
Great knowledge.
Yes.
We have paved the way for you.
You'll be educated on this. And you'll
hey,
be like,
I'm paying
oh,
attention.
Yeah, I got this. They have been signing up teams. Like, you know, because I've had, you know, parents, you know, what about this? They've got a tournament going on next weekend, and there's already 8 teams signed up or 10 teams signed up. Well, you can sign up teams all day long. But basically what they're doing is just every weekend they're signing them up. Like, okay, well, and then, you know, by Wednesday – They would cancel. So they haven't done anything yet. They keep signing up teams, but they haven't had a tournament. And that was the first tournament that I had heard of. I've talked to as many people as I can in the state where they had had a tournament. That was the first one I had been made aware of. I knew families that were going to go to Alabama. For weeks they've been thinking they were going to go to Alabama for a tournament. And Alabama pulls the plug about every Wednesday, middle of the week. They don't do the tournament. So there was nothing that I had heard of happening until this, and this was in Cordova, and I was like, whoa, wait a minute. Now, we started doing a little digging, and we're kind of talking amongst ourselves, and another family, because we were discussing this, and I said, this is pretty significant, I guess, if this is true, which, you know, I said, I've got proof of it. I mean, this guy, he showed me even his Facebook page, his cousin. He's posted all this stuff on Facebook. They won the tournament. They're a 9U team, but they are based out of Memphis. And we come to find out, we did a little digging. This complex, these fields, they are actually owned by USSSA. So they are owned and operated by UTRIP. This is the information that I was given. And it makes sense, right? These are not basically for people out there trying to put all this together. Most of these tournaments, like here in town, here in Middle Tennessee, or what, they're usually on city fields, right? City parks. In other words, the city built them, and they basically rent them from the city to conduct their tournaments. But in this case, UTRIP owned these fields or this complex in Memphis, and so that's why that's a totally different animal. Like that's their place. So they basically think about it. Willie, if I won the lottery and chased, if I won the lottery tomorrow and I decided, you know what, it's so hard to find fields, I'm just going to build my own complex because I just won $300 million, so I can do that. So I'll just build my own little field of dreams here, and it's owned and operated by me. Well, guess what? I can go have tournaments as soon as they're done. Yeah. I can start having my own tournaments. There's no – I don't need permission from the city – for their parks, and that has been the reason these tournaments haven't happened. So I still haven't seen the case, and that's what's going on in Florida too. I'm pretty sure those are probably UTRIP complexes or just the state of Florida. I know they've been a little bit looser with opening things up, and
they've
granted a commission. They've permission to say, okay, you can use our fields.
they got the go ahead from the higher ups that they could do this, and you've sort of touched on what's at the center of this in some cases is, you know, that there's, it's a business, right? It's a big business. And the only way to get the business is to run the tournaments. There's the hotels. So the local economy has come to rely on a lot of tournaments like this over the last several years. And that is the model, for better or worse, right? There are things we love about travel ball, and there's things that we kind of reminisce when we were kids and say, boy, you know, it was pretty cool when we had all of our kids in the neighborhood playing right down the street, and all our games were in the same park. We could all ride our bikes to the field. You know, and then we played in the summer in All-Stars. That's when we played the next town over and the next town over, all that stuff. But the model is what it is, right? So we have to try to adapt and figure out how to do this. So my main question to everybody, or my main challenge to everybody, especially in the perspective we have, is we're talking about all the things that have to go right for MLB to play, and they're not going to play until July. Right, that would be with all this testing and all these safety measures that they still haven't all figured out yet. You know, so why is it cool for us right now to just dive in there and play in a tournament with our kids without asking a lot of questions when we know we're not going to have testing and things like that? There's going to be some risks. So what's right? So it shouldn't be driven by these tournaments being held because they're trying to get their business going. We want to make sure that it's being done smartly if it's going to be done at all. So I don't think there should be a hurry, but the reality is, as Tim Corbin pointed out, there are going to be some people that want to play. And you have to balance that with the kids really want to play, right? They do. They want to get out there. They want to be with their buddies. They want right. to do what they love to do. So we're trying to get all of that stuff, and there's no easy answers here.
And I have I don't know if we want to break and then come back to
say,
this.
Let's hold this over.
Because I have a couple of questions for both of you.
Okay.
Because
yeah,
you're obviously more...
I'd love to hear from some parents that are out there that may be in this situation.
Sure.
Or had this kind of discussion. Or maybe they're coaching. And or maybe they run a hotel, you know, and they're trying to ease people's fears and stuff like that, you know. And I'd love to hear anybody that's got something to say about this, because this is tricky.
Yep. We will come back and continue this discussion. On the other side, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Kids are going to want to be kids, and I think it's a great opportunity to start using your own personal awareness and your personal responsibility to start to forge into, as we get going, more group activity, but doing it in a way that's going to provide education for the kids in terms of cleanliness and how to approach certain things. I've been thinking a lot about this in terms of when we get our kids back and when we're in a classroom. I told Maggie, I said, this might be a great situation for us in the fact that we should never really get a cold or a flu again, not because we're going to live life and wash our hands with every little thing, but just be more aware of where we're sticking our hands, what we're doing, and so on. But to your point, I think we can start moving into this. I'm not anyone, but I just think at some point in time, kids have to be kids. They have to move around, and I think they have to get together at some point. And I think that's coming. I think that's sooner than later, particularly when this weather starts improving. But I think it's also a great opportunity for us, before we get into those things, of really educating parents and kids on how we're going to proceed moving forward. Yeah, I see it as a great growth opportunity.
A conversation we had with Vanderbilt baseball coach Tim Corbin, always thoughtful in his answers, and there's just a little snippet of this very topic that we are talking about. So, Chase, you said you had some questions to throw our way, so I'm going to let you give you the floor.
So I know, Darren, you obviously, you coach. So you're a coach with your son's baseball team. Willie, are you coaching still, or are you just a dad at this point?
I do not coach. I'm a dad.
So
and there's at my son's age, at 14, his program, they don't have any dads involved. It's a coach that is basically hired and paid by our league, our club fees, basically, to do the coaching.
Okay, so I guess my biggest question is, you know, Darren, you obviously have to look at this sort of thing two different ways. You're looking at it as a parent and as a coach, because as you've brought up on the show several times, I mean, there's a lot that goes into a travel baseball team, and this is, you know, still a new venture for you and your family, and and Maddox and, you know, everybody that he's playing with. So I guess I'm curious of how you're going about it, of also, you know, making sure that everybody's safe, but also looking at it from the logistics and the financial implications of getting your team going.
Well, it's all rolled into the same thing we've been talking about with everything, right? In fact, Steve Forbes said this to us last hour, and you've heard me mention this. There is no manual for any of this. There's just not.
Yeah.
And I don't know how any of us think we have the answers, because we really don't. All we can do is try to stay on top of this, educate ourselves, educate others, and just try to do things the right way. But, I mean, I've made it abundantly clear on this show, we try to do everything the right way. We are at risk constantly. I mean, we just are. And, unfortunately, unless you have made the decision and you're able to pull it off, you are just going to hunker down and you are just going to stay in your home or until this is over, which who knows when this is over is. You know, I don't, like, that's about 0.7% of the population, if not less, that can do that. I mean, everybody else is out and about, and you're just going to have to figure out how to do things. By the way, we went to one of the big stores. I don't need to give them a free plug, but, you know, a store where you want to do home repairs or projects, you go to one of these places. And we were there yesterday, and, I mean, my goodness, they're packed. But nonetheless, and we wear a mask, and, you know, we try to do that. We try to stay away, safe distance and all that, and they had shields up, and that's great. But the point is, if that's how you – where do you draw the line? The line is constantly blurred. And Chase, you're kind of privy to this, because we've had some pretty in-depth conversations.
Sure.
Vince brought it up about our Gatlinburg trip that we do annually in June. It's guys coming from all over the country, and we stay in a cabin for, you know, 3 nights, 4 days and 3 nights. And it's a whole lot of fun, but, you know, most of this through this journey, it was like, well, you know, it's not going to happen this year. And obviously things have changed and they are open and the cabin rental place is open. And I've spoken to them about what they're doing on their end. And they told me, you know, their cleaning methods and special precautions and things they're doing, their do's and don'ts, kind of rules they have in place. And I've presented to the group and told everybody, you do what you think you need to do. And as of right now, there is only one person that is not going to make the trip, and he's coming from the furthest. And so you understand, and it pains him, and you've been privy to the conversations, but
sure,
he's coming from L.A. And so,
which is an area that's hard hit.
Yeah. And everything. He just decided that it wasn't fair to him, or it was tough for him to come across the country, fly to Atlanta, stay with another person that's going to be on the trip at their home, and then drive to the trip, then go back to Atlanta, stay there, then fly all the way back to Los Angeles. And he was fearful also of, you know, what if he got something along his journey and gave it to all of us. And so he had to make the tough decision, and it was met with everybody respecting and understanding his decision that he unfortunately is, and he goes on the trip every year, but he is going to bag out because of where we are. But where are the lines, right? It's hard. Like, how do you do this and this and this, but you're not going to do this? So going back
to what we were talking about. In the lines, I think that's a really good way to put it, right? There are different lines or levels of risk, right? For example, bringing it back to you're managing your team, right? Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of teams out there that are practicing, right? Your team would be one.
I'm
my
just
team
telling
would be
you
one.
That they're out there. I see it all the time.
Yeah. So right. So they're practicing. That's mm-hmm. one level of risk, right? That's taking it up from we're all sheltering at home,
yep,
right? Or we're doing our own workouts, just father son, you know, whoever you're quarantined with, all of that. Right now we're moving up to small groups, and there's a there's maybe a little bit of an increased risk, but I think, you know, worth the risk. You know, the camaraderie and the friendship and all of that stuff. But then the next level, then maybe the next level would be playing some other teams locally, right, where you're not traveling per se. You're having a scrimmage. There's one other team out there, and there's mixing. There's a game. There is interaction with umpires. You know, you try to spread people around the field so nobody's too close together. The parents are watching, but everybody goes to their homes. So that's the next step up.
Which we're going to do then, this Saturday, by the way. The other right, Tidal Wave coach called me.
A lot of people are there. I feel pretty comfortable about
yes.
that, right? I feel pretty comfortable about that, even though you could sit there and say, well, Major League Baseball is not doing any of that, so why should we be doing that until we know more? That's a fair question. But then the next level is traveling, staying in a hotel, going to a complex where there might be between 15 and sometimes as much as 70 or 75 teams in the same place. A lot of those teams will stay at the same five or six hotels, right, clustered all in there from all over the country. That's a whole new level of risk. And so where are we now? Where am I in my mind? That's what I'm trying to sort through right now.
All this ties into that learning to live with it conversation that we've been having. Learning that it's not going away, accepting that it's not going away. And you have the decision that you can make. And everybody has the right of, you know what, I'm going to chill at my house and have a select few that I'm around, but that's what I'm going to do, and my kid's not playing until I feel like it's safe. You have the right to do that, and nobody should judge you or give you a hard time if that is your decision. Or you have the decision of, all right, my team's playing, we're practicing, we're taking the measures. I don't buy into the, well, Major League Baseball is not playing yet, because it's apples and oranges, in my opinion.
I mean, they're talking about money. There's no salaries in what we're talking about. We're all volunteers, and the kids, nobody's getting paid. So it's not an apples to apples comparison.
And there are more, I mean, in some ways you can say, I guess they have more resources, and it's just different. I mean, it's just a very different conversation. So I just, you know, I don't envy you guys for, because that's just another level of, you know, with me, it's more, all right, what am I, do I feel safe to go sit in a restaurant or go hang out with my friends this weekend? I mean, you guys are thinking about your kids, and Darren, in your case, other people's kids. And so I can't imagine what, you know, what that's like. I mean, I obviously one day hope to know that, but won't be tomorrow. So I just, you know, I think there's just a lot to weigh here, but it also is all about personal decisions, and, you know, how comfortable are you knowing that, all right, there's a risk involved. And I know that you can say, well, there's a risk in anything, but there is a new risk that we don't know much about, and we're learning every day. And so people can make that decision and go, all right, so what happens if, you know, I get sick, or my kid gets sick, or, you know, somebody on the team. And I think you kind of have to evaluate that as you go along. Have a plan, have an idea.
More likely, if you play enough of these tournaments, what happens when somebody gets
very good
sick,
point.
Right?
Very good point,
we're bringing a lot of people in. The chances are pretty good that somebody on somebody's team, may not be your team, but somebody's team, and if somebody on some other team, let's say you go to a tournament and you play a team from Alabama, and that team goes home to Alabama, and then they find out that one of their players got sick, do they have the diligence to call the tournament and say, hey, everybody who played our team, you might want to know, you know, our third baseman tested positive for the virus, he's okay, but, you know, just wanted to check, you know, that sets up a whole, these are all things that realistically are probable somewhere along the line, whether it's a baseball tournament or a soccer tournament or a softball tournament, right? These are things that you have to be prepared to deal with.
Well let me ask
question
you
is,
something though, Willie.
Can you get enough
What's different than
without
everyday life, though? I mean, honestly, when you go to, I mean, you leave
the
house, correct?
The cluster of people.
Do you go? I don't know your dynamic. Does Aaron do the shopping at the grocery store, or do you help? Do you go grocery shopping, or does Aaron?
I do it.
Okay, so you do it, right?
Yeah.
So you go to grocery stores. What's their rules in grocery stores? There are no rules. They're the one thing in all this that just cracks me up. Like all these other places, they're doing, you know, a count. You can only have this percent. And they're, hey, stop. We've got a line forming out. I got Academy Sports here in Smyrna. It's massive, a massive store. And I swear, I think it's one person for every nine aisles. But yet the grocery stores, there is no rules. You just go. And as many people go in and out of there is fine. To my knowledge, I have yet to see one rule with a grocery store. Well, why is that okay? I mean, so you feel comfortable that, do you know what everybody in a grocery store, if they've contracted it, if they've tested positive, do you know their history? You see what I mean? Like, that's when I get back to the lines. Like, so it's okay, you're okay to
right,
do
but that's,
that.
That's a different line.
But why is it different? What's different? No, because you're in a group. You're in a big group of people with no rules in the grocery store. There's no rules.
Okay, I can tell you the difference. All right, I control my movements. Right, I have my mask on. I know that if I'm smart, I'm not going to touch my face. I'm going to get home and I'm going to wash my hands. I'm going to do all those things that I can reasonably say, you know, without being freakishly over the top about it. I'm going to do what I need to do to protect myself until I get home.
Okay.
The point has been made on this article that I sent you guys from John Solomon. There's a coach that said, okay, we have these guidelines, but can an 8-year-old really follow these guidelines? You know, sanitizing the equipment and not picking up anybody else's bat and stuff like that.
The answer is no.
Yeah, there's no way, right?
And you know what? They're not doing it now. None of them are. I'm telling you, I have an 8-year-old, and he is fully educated on what we're going through and what's going on. And the minute he gets around his friends, around his teammates, it all goes out the window. And he is fully aware of everything, and they're all like that. Every single one of them. So what are you going to do? Like, you can't make 8-year-olds or 9-year-olds or whatever the age group is change their – that they're not going to. They're not going to not pick up a bat. They're not going to not pick up and do this. If they will do hand sanitizer when you give them hand sanitizer. And he's fully aware of everything. Like, he is educated on this, but he's 8. And the minute he gets around his friends or he gets around his baseball team – it all goes out the window, and you have to constantly tell them. But let's not be naive here. They're not saying you have to constantly stay on top of it, because right, they're not going to do it on their own.
And the other thing that I think has been introduced into the argument, which is very valid point, is, you know, the young, generally speaking, right, there are plenty of exceptions, but generally speaking, the youth players themselves are less at risk than the parents, the grandparents, and, of course, everybody involved that would have health conditions that would make them more vulnerable to the virus. So, in effect, really, these travel tournaments are as much, if not more, of a risk for the parents who are hosting the kids and staying in a hotel and all that stuff than the kids themselves in a lot of cases. Isn't that reasonable to say?
There is, sure, a house, let's see, 4 houses over from us to the left. Really nice big house. They got a glass backboard hoop in their driveway. Their kid, ironically, his name is Darren. They go to Stewart's Creek.
Good name.
I'm not kidding. Every day there is a pickup basketball game in their big driveway with their beautiful backboard and their basketball hoop of, looks like, you know, anywhere from 6, 8, 10 kids from Stewart's Creek High School over there playing basketball every single day. It's not just 8-year-olds. And you think, yeah, they're wearing masks? You think they're wearing gloves? You think they're socially distancing themselves during that shoot around or whatever they're doing over there? I'm just telling you what I've seen when it comes to the younger generation. The younger generation right now is just like, you know, sorry, we're just going to keep doing what we're doing. There just is no – that's been my dealings. I'm not blanketing or stereotype or casting a net over everybody 18 years of age or younger. I'm just telling you my dealings and what I've seen going around, and whether it's baseball practice and other teams' practices or around the neighborhood, and if the goals were up in the parks, let me tell you, there'd be full-on – basketball games going all day long. They'd be running, sure, all day.
So the question is, what will be the effect of that now that everybody's getting back into that? what will we see in a month's time, 2 months' time as a result? Will the numbers go up? And also factoring in that the weather's warmer and all of that stuff.
Won't have any idea until we go through it. No idea.
Yeah, but that's the concern. So what level are you comfortable with?
Well,
I might argue that, you know, you could still get pretty good development, fulfillment, camaraderie for a team to just play locally, at least for a while we wait and see before you dive in to the 70 or 75 team tournaments. That's how I think about it right now, but that's not going to stop. Like this article, it's certainly not just Florida. There's Oklahoma, there's Missouri, there's Louisiana. They're playing tournaments right now in different areas. And I think it's fair to say there are teams that signed up for these tournaments in January when they were planning out their entire schedule that aren't going to show up for those tournaments.
Yep.
Right? And that's part of it too.
No doubt.
But there is a driver. You know, this is people's livelihood that run these tournaments, so they're going to be incentivized to run the tournament.
Yeah.
Even though maybe they might, you know, look for loopholes and reasons, rationalizations why, okay, yeah, let's, I think we're okay. We can play. We can play.
Let's not be phony about this. The only reason anybody's talking about any of this stuff, anything, is money driven. How is USSSA any different than anybody else out there we've talked about?
It's not.
Well, it's not. There's nothing different about it.
So this is our sports prism, right? And the reality is
right.
There's a lot of businesses that through their prism have these same kind of talks, right,
yep.
on what can be done and what is not safe to be done yet.
Yep. Bicycle Boy is on hold. He wants to weigh in. What's going on?
Hey, fellas. Darren, I'm on my way back from the Smokies right now, and you guys have been keeping me awake the whole trip, so thanks for that.
Were you there for the weekend?
I was, yeah.
So what was your observation? Did you get out in Pigeon Forge or Gatlinburg on the Strip at all?
Well, no, we were over on the North Carolina side, and it was pretty quiet over there.
Okay.
Yeah. So, Darren, I think you kind of skirted it a few minutes ago when you said, there's so much conflicting and misinformation out there that it's difficult for people to make a decision. I think it's going to end up being everybody's going to have to believe what they're going to believe and take whatever they consider appropriate precautions are going to be. But I live in one of the biggest subdivisions in Williamson County. We got a pool, we got a little kids' playground, a pavilion, and we've got a full outdoor basketball court. The last few weeks, there's been a girls' basketball team out there practicing. And a guy who looks like the coach. I mean, I don't know. I don't follow that enough to know if he's a coach or not. But you know, there's a dozen girls out there practicing basketball, and every day there's 10, 15 kids out there playing basketball. So apparently, I guess if you're outside, you're a little safer. But it seems like people are more willing now to kind of get out there and get going again and get back to life as best we can, but hopefully take some reasonable precautions.
Yep. Bicycle Boy, thanks. Safe travels back, and thanks for the call as always. Yeah, I mean, it's what we all wrestle with. And, you know, all we can do is for the ones who are doing this, and not everybody is, but all we can do is try to do what's safe for us individuals and our families, right?
Yeah.
Whatever the dynamic of the people close to you. Now, not everybody subscribes to that. Some people are out there just cavalier, and they're just like, I'm not going to be scared. You know, Jace has told – I mean, you heard it on – you just made the list. I mean, somebody saying, if you want to live scared, you go ahead. I'm not going to. And it's like, you know, come on, man. Like, really?
Right.
That's not the right answer. Like, that is not the right answer. But all you can do is just try to do the right thing and hope for the best. At least that's how I feel. I don't know what else to say. I don't know how else you go about your daily life. Like I said, unless you've just decided you're never leaving your home until this is over, which that is like 0.3% of the population.
And that you're right. I mean,
sure.
And this is one thing that I wish people would do a better job of understanding, that I can make my decision and do what I want to do, and you can make your decision and do what you want to do, and I'm not going to pressure you, and you shouldn't pressure me.
Sure.
That's
a fair
how it should
way
be.
To do it.
You know,
yeah, that's fair.
And people don't seem – there are some people, I'm going to use some, that don't get that. That they just think, because I do it this way, you need to do it how I do it because this is what I do.
Well said. Let's go to Tony. Tony wants to weigh in. What's up?
Guys, great conversation. I think everybody's right on a lot of their points. Darren, though, to take exception to you saying people in the grocery stores are not doing it all right, I go to Publix. And at Publix, I've got my mask on, my gloves on. I carry wipes with me. Even though they wipe the buggies down, I wipe it down. Also, when I do get in there, I do see other people trying to keep the safe distance, trying to do the right things. And like you said, like everybody said, there's still those cavalier people in there that don't give a damn, and they're just going to do it their way anyway.
Yeah. But in the can I clear that up, Tony? I wasn't saying that people aren't doing the right things in the grocery stores. I'm saying it's felt like this whole time grocery stores have no rules, as in other places you go, there's a limitation of how many people can come in and out. And I feel like my experience is I've just been able to walk in and walk out no matter how many people were in there whenever I wanted to.
That's true. But I have been to two other grocery stores, per se, that did have a counter outside.
Really? Okay.
I thought that was the first one.
I have not seen that. Okay.
I'll tell you who it was. Is it Aldi or Aldi?
That's yep, Aldi. One. Okay. Yep.
They sure did. They had a counter. She had a counter in her hand.
Okay.
Speaking of that, this is a good point to interject this in there. Aaron did say that she wanted it to be known for the record. This is part of, you know, having the show in your home. So she's listening to the show. She did pop in and say, make sure they know I do some of the grocery shopping as well. I don't do all of it. Aaron does what. But at the one that she goes to, we live close to both, two different kinds, and Aldi is one that they have the spacing and the counter and
what
they
Tony's
only
talking
a certain
about?
Amount of people in there. Yeah, what Tony's talking about is
and
true.
And they also have the arrows on the floor on what aisles you're supposed to be going, what directional. Now, there's once again, Darren, you're right, there's a lot of people that don't even pay attention to that either. So, but that's at the grocery store. But, guys, let me tell you this. I live in a big subdivision in Nolensville, and the other day, not too long ago, Darren, you're right about this, 16 young men playing football together, tackle football beside my house. 15 young ladies playing softball down in the field. We had 31 kids at one time playing ball together. Yep. In my subdivision, one day I sat on my front porch. Well, not front porch, I've got a covered porch on the back. Counted 175 people walking or on bikes or jogging or whatever in a two-hour span. Very active subdivision. Nobody had a mask on. Nobody. And they are passing among each other. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, you see these things. So it gets back to all y'all's points you said. They are all right. They are all conducive to what's going on. And it's like you just said, people are going to do it. And if you can just, like Willie said, take care of what you can take care of, what you can control. And that's all we can do to do the right thing. But we do have those out there that are just thinking, you know, and let me say this, guys, I'm going to get off here. There was a guy, y'all saw the major clusters of people at the beaches and everything. One boy popped on there, they interviewed him, and he said, if you don't want to come, don't come. If you're scared of coming down here and getting sick, don't come. I don't care, I'm coming. Well, those people, if they've got that cavalier attitude, when they get the virus, I don't think they should be treated with the health care that they get, too. That's my opinion on that. That's wrong, but anyway. All right,
guys,
great show.
Thank you, Tony. Appreciate it. Yeah, unfortunately, we've seen those interviews, and you just shake your head going, oh, my goodness.
There's a much better
way to
put
it. I hope one day you look back and you feel extremely remorseful for that video, that interview that you did and was shown for everybody to see.
I came off looking like a bleep in that.
615-737-1025. Bobby is up next. Bobby, what's up?
Hey, guys.
What's happening?
Well,
I know you wanted to weigh in on this.
I thought the regulations or the guidance right now out there from our government is less than 50 people gathered up.
It has been moved up, obviously, from 10 to, is that where we, that's where we are, right? 50?
Yeah. So how in the right mind, if it's an organized activity and you're in charge of these young people, how in good conscience would you sign up for a tournament when you know full well you're not going to be able to meet those guidelines? And how could they even put one on?
Well, now remember,
that's a good question.
We're talking about in Florida, and then,
no, we talked about Tennessee a minute ago.
Well, right, in Memphis, and that is, you're right, that's your point. But that is, that's why I said we did a little digging, and that was actually owned by USSSA, so they actually own and operate that complex. So I don't know what their guidelines are, Bobby, to be honest. I don't know if they answer to their own rules. I don't know who they would even need to answer to. I don't know how that works.
Well, I know,
so if I have a baseball game and I have,
I know a lot of people maintain Memphis isn't really part of Tennessee, but I think it is.
It is.
I think.
Okay, but like, can you get around? I'm sure there are loopholes, right, where they're saying, okay, we only have, you know, baseball is conducive to somewhat social distancing, right? We have 9 players on the field. You have a 10th guy who's a batter. So in theory, you're spread out enough to where, is it really a gathering of, or can you get under the wire there with that?
Well, I mean,
if people are spread out around
well,
the field, this is a great question you're asking though.
I mean, I get that if you're running a business, but if you're the coach, and that sounds like you're the coach, how in good conscience can you put that, even go forward thinking about something like that?
Well, right now there has been no tournament. So I haven't had, you know, nobody's had to, we haven't worried about planning any tournaments. So,
I see.
It's not been available. Like I said, that was the reason it drew my attention, because that was the first tournament I had seen or heard of anywhere in the state of Tennessee that had actually taken place. They've been signing people up, but they cancel them every week. But doing a little bit deeper research, it's because they're not on city fields, and that's how they were able to. If those were on city fields, that tournament this past weekend never happens.
Well, I think for a lot of people, too, the tournaments that they have scheduled up to this point have been canceled. But looking another week or two or three down the road, there might be a tournament that your team is signed up for, and we're all asking ourselves, if that tournament is still on, we're entered in it, do we go or do we not go?
And, Bobby, the answer is all you can do is tell people who are not – you just say if you're not comfortable, then obviously – no harm, no foul. That we respect your decision, and you don't have to. And here's the thing, though, and at least in my dealings, I mean, our team has been, you know, the other Tidal Wave coach did tell me that, you know, they did have one family that said they weren't comfortable yet coming back to practice, and he said he respected that, and that was it. And that is the case, I'm sure, with
that's
other
important.
Teams.
Yeah, yes. That's the case with our organization, too. They've made the practices optional, and they have said, if you don't feel comfortable, then it's nothing against you, and that is perfectly fine if that's how you feel.
As did I, but, you know, all 11 kids and family showed up. So that's all I can do is just say, hey, this is, you know, if you're not comfortable, don't show. That's all you can do. And if you are, great, we'll see you there. And, you know, everybody came. So I don't know what else to do other than to tell them, look, you know, you need to make what's the decision that works for you and your family. And if that decision is we're just not comfortable yet, then that's your decision, and everybody needs to be okay with that, and that's fine. It's interesting. I'm glad we brought this up. We're going to have, I think, John Solomon on Thursday's show, but I think what this is telling us, just like everything else, is we're getting close to all this becoming a reality, right? I mean, I think we can feel like – I feel like June is going to be that month where – I think all this stuff is going to start happening. I think, and it's no different on the pro side, and I don't think it's going to be any different on the youth tournament side of things. That is going to do it for us. It is closing time. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday. Be safe. We want you back with us tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. We'll see you then.
What's up, Foos? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.